You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program from the Ecological Society of America, where I interview ecological scientists involved with public policy. Today, I'm interviewing Kellen Marshall, one of this year's three Graduate Student Policy Award winners. While pursuing her PhD in Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of Illinois Chicago, Kellen has also accumulated a wide array of experiences in public policy, including an internship with Illinois State Representative Al Riley, and more recently, as the founder and director of the George Washington Carver Research Station, located within the Eden Place Nature Center. If you could describe your work at Eden Place Nature Center, how did it inspire you to become involved in policy?
So my work here at Eden Place Nature Center began when I was an undergraduate at Chicago State University. Currently, as a doctorate student pursuing a degree in ecology at UIC, my role here is to participate in research and developing research here on the grounds at Eden Place. So how I got interested in policy was through a few different projects. One of them was BuzzFest. That was actually hosted by myself and one of the other staff members here at the Nature Center. We were able to get Pat Quinn, who was then Lieutenant Governor, to come out, and he hosted an event called Monarch Live. And that was my first introduction to a policymaker here at the Nature Center. So that kind of piqued my interest, and we were able to keep the keep that relationship going, and we started to talk about how policies affected people of color as it related to green space, and not just through environmental justice, but through educating communities about environmental issues, as well as food justice issues.
That sounds like a great experience, particularly the involvement of Pat Quinn.
Oh yeah, he was a great guy.
So through this program, you're also participating in a conference called the Urban Resolutions for Bridging African Americans to Natural Environments. Could you talk a little bit about the conference?
Absolutely. So Urbane 2011 is very exciting for me as well as everyone here at the Nature Center. Fuller Park Community Development and Chicago State University together are hosting this historic conference. So the theme of the conference is connecting the lots, and there is a play on words because we deal with lots of vacant lots and brown space on the south side of Chicago, and it revolves around urban minorities and land issues. So this conference seeks to bring together people of color that are working within communities, and they're actually doing something to solve problems. And your large environmental groups typically tend to be non-color, whereas environmental justice groups seem to be more people of color. So what we're doing is we're trying to bridge the gap between those two worlds, because there is a connection between justice issues as well as environmental issues, such as conservation, whether it's biodiversity, soil conservation, air quality, carbon sequestration, whatever you want to call it. So people that are working within sectors related to environmental justice, urban agriculture, environmental education, green jobs, and green development, we're bringing together for the first time to really talk about what it is that's going on in communities of color in Chicago.
Some people may not be familiar with the concept of environmental justice. Could you talk about that and how it relates to your work?
Yes. So the concept of environmental justice began not too long ago. So it's the idea that people of color or low-income communities suffer disproportionately from more affluent Caucasian communities when it comes to environmental disamenities. So the siting of Superfund sites, brownfields, landfills tend to be industrial areas that are of low economic value, and therefore people of color tend to live within those areas. But it's been shown that there's a pattern that people of color are more likely to be associated with those types of landscapes than people who are not of color. So that's the deal with environmental justice. And how it relates to my work here at Eden Place is, just to put it into perspective, Chicago has 570 parks with much green space located on the south side of Chicago. And we're the top six most segregated city in the United States of America. Having said that, I'll use environmental education programming as an example. Of those 570 parks, 13 parks have environmental education programs. However, they are not within areas that you think that they should be, considering many or most of the acreage of green space is located on the south side of Chicago. So we're dealing with not only the disproportionate amount of landfills and industrial sites, we're also dealing with disproportionate programming and curriculum, disproportionate amounts of green space as well. And then also food justice issues. So many of our communities are considered food deserts, where people do not have access to fresh produce or fresh food, or they can't afford it. So that's how it relates to my work here at Eden Place.
Before coming to D.C. as an ESA Graduate Student Policy awardee, you had some prior experience in the office of State Representative Al Riley, who represents Hazel Crest, Illinois, a Chicago suburb in the state legislature. Could you expand upon your work in that office? Do you feel it prepared you in any way for the meetings you had on Capitol Hill?
Absolutely. So I got involved with State Rep Al Riley through a program called Minority Internship Program. So that it takes undergraduates in various disciplines, and it hooks you up with a person who's a legislator or a government office, just to gain experience in working within those settings if you're interested in policymaking. So in working with him, I worked on one project with fetal alcohol syndrome and working with multiple stakeholders to gather information to disseminate to the public about the importance of fetal alcohol syndrome. But more importantly, what I learned through working with him in his office was how to connect with a myriad of people. So his constituents varied in age and their issues as well. And I saw him speak with them one-on-one. I saw him, you know, keep his calm when he's getting yelled at, when people are telling him to do something and he's trying to educate them on what it is that his role is in policymaking and what it is that their role is. So I really learned how to connect with people and speak with people, but more importantly, how to be an effective leader through listening.
That's a good segue into your experiences on Capitol Hill. Was there anything that surprised you in the meetings? Given the tight fiscal environment we're experiencing at all levels of government, did staff you met with seem receptive to what you had to say?
Absolutely. Even though we were in the fiscal crunch that we were in, and people were preparing us for difficult conversations, our message was very well received. Since many of the people I spoke, well, all of the people I spoke with were from the state of Illinois, they really connected with the message of how important maintaining the budget or the requested budget from NSF was to the economy of Illinois, and then to the city of Chicago for those who are from Chicago. So it wasn't surprising. I didn't really know what to expect. I just went in there. I was very nervous, you know, my first time speaking with so many people on something that is very important. But it seems as though I was able to find that connection through home and letting them know that this money goes to our local economy in the state of Illinois. And with putting a jobs spin on it, people were very receptive to that.
What advice would you give other young scientists such as yourself seeking to engage in public policy?
So I guess the first thing I would say is to seek out opportunities. And if those opportunities do not exist, create them. So think outside of the box. And if you don't find a group of scientists that are interested in what you're doing, there might be nonprofit organizations that could benefit from your information, whether it be an environmental justice group, or it could be a group of teachers who are lobbying for environmental education. Figure out what it is that you're really interested in and participate as much as you possibly can, especially through professional organizations such as ESA when they offer awards such as the Graduate Student Policy Award, as well as the policy section for you to gain more insight, speak with people that may or may not share your political beliefs, but again, you'll be able to gain from those experiences of discussing about how scientists can be involved in policy and what our roles are.
And that was Kellen Marshall with the University of Illinois, Chicago. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time when The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.